She said, Senator, I just said, Senator Russ called Ken and asked him to put capacitor on his own. And he's sitting up tall.
They just sit there as far as I'm concerned. Right, made authorized his budget for him. And I asked him if he's gonna be here tomorrow and come back. And he said, well, tomorrow's him now. See if you can find out what it is he wants to talk about. So I don't have to waste any time with him.
He's coming to the phone, Mr. President. Mr. Carter?
Yes, ma'am.
Cliff, get on where I can hear you.
Yes, sir.
Cliff, I just had to talk to that fellow about Corbin.
Yes, sir.
He says he's confident that he's been mistreated, that he hasn't done this in New York State Committee, and he hasn't done it in New Hampshire. So I told him that if he hadn't done it, why, that's different, but I couldn't have anybody in the committee going doing these things. I told John Bailey to get the fellow in, and I think you ought to go tell Bailey this afternoon what reports you had from New York and what reports you had from New Hampshire.
Yes,
who told you what?
Yes, sir.
And let him ask Corbin if he did it.
Yes, sir.
And then I want Bailey to come over, bring me the file on the fellow later, and I want to give him notice if he has done this.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any notes on your phone conversations
yes,
either place?
Yes, sir. I do to New Hampshire.
What about New York?
I was told this.
I have trouble hearing you. I can't hear you.
I said I was told this.
All right, just personally?
Yes, sir.
And what, who told you?
My recollection is Dick McGuire, sir, but I need to review my thoughts on that to be sure that I'm correct.
Well, talk to Dick about it. Tell him that we're in a fight, about it, and I'm very anxious that the fellow be treated fairly.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't want him to be fired any more than you fired if he hasn't done any of this. But you're sure in your own mind he did do it in New Hampshire, aren't you?
I was told that by the National Committeeman, yes, sir.
Well, you better call the National Committeeman back and just say you won't check this. Be positive and have a recorder on when you do. Then go to see Bailey, and when this fella gets in, I want Bailey to come over here, and I talk to Bailey, and I want to get him fired.
Yes, sir.
If this is what's happened. Is that what you recommend?
Yes, sir, I do. And Dick would do the same thing, as would Chairman Bailey, I'm sure. I talked to the chairman about it this morning, and he said that he just had been caught in between on the thing, Because every time he started asking the boy to do something, the boy doesn't really supposed to do something for the Attorney General. And he'd go off here and go off there. He has taken his assignments, according to what Bailey told me this morning, strictly from the Attorney General. He's supposed to be an assistant to Bailey, but as I understood from Bailey this morning, he took his instructions strictly from the Attorney General.
Is Ken O'Donnell over there?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Can you ask your... I'll ask.
I can check and find out, sir.
Check right quick. Let me hold on a minute.
Yes, sir.
Talked to the ambassador. I told him he retired up at a meeting. They had the Lord Hume meeting. And asked him when he was leaving town. He said, I have to leave in the morning, early in the morning, 6 o'clock. And I said, I'm not sure that it's going to be possible this afternoon. And he said, I'll just wait if the secretary wanted me to see him for 2 minutes. That's the old story, 2 minutes. It's not a courtesy call, he said. It's a matter of business. Now I can get rid of him.
Well, I'll have to see him. I've got to go be x-rayed. I don't want to know it. I'll get rid of him where I can go downstairs.
I think he's in with Dick, and I sent the girl around to make sure that he was in there. The secretary thought he was in with Dick, but I sent the secretary around to double-check it. I sent you the payroll just a while ago by messenger. It'd be on your desk. Ought to be on your desk in 5 minutes.
How many on it?
I didn't count them, sir. I just put them up right together, right quickly, and packed up and sent it to you.
Well, I want you to study them and look at them and talk to Dick McGuire about it and Ken O'Donnell and see how many of them you can get rid of over there.
Yes, sir.
And find them other jobs.
Yes, sir. Now, Kenny is in with Dick.
All right. Can you transfer us in there?
I'm sure I can, sir. Let me just... Mr. Johnson.
Yeah?
She's switching you. She's going to switch you on over right now.
Hello?
Yes?
Just a moment, sir. Mr. McGuire's office.
Could I speak to Ken O'Donnell?
I'm sorry, he's on another line. Who's calling, please?
The president.
Oh, I was putting him on that line. Oh. Hold on, please.
Hello?
Ken, can Dick McGuire get on the other phone there?
Yes, sir, he's right here. Dick, you want to get on 220?
Hello?
I talked to the Attorney General about Corby. I told him that I had asked Ken O'Donnell to talk to him this morning and tell him that we did not want anybody working for the committee to be demonstrating any preference for any vice presidential candidate, that I wasn't even going in the primaries myself as a presidential candidate.
Right.
And that I thought it was highly improper and inappropriate, and he had done so in the case of New York, and he had done so in New Hampshire, that I had taken extreme precautions to show my friendship for all of President Kennedy's hierarchy, the top man, that when I asked Shriver to take a letter to the Pope and they raised a question, I told him I had confidence in him and thought he was an able young fellow, that when the situation arose in Indonesia, that I was anxious to demonstrate my confidence in him, and I showed it by sending him out there. When Hubert Humphrey and Gene McCarthy had their party, I wanted to show my confidence in them, and I went to it, and now I've got to go to 30 more. That when Adlai Stevenson wanted me to come to the United Nations and made a personal issue of it, that I went to show him my confidence in him. So I thought it would be improper for us to raise money from the public and then give it to a fellow to travel around over the country to sponsor individuals. And he said, well, he hasn't done that. I said, he reports to Ken O'Donnell, and I told him to take his orders from Ken O'Donnell, and Ken O'Donnell gives him his orders. And I said, well, I have information he did it in New York, and a man from New Hampshire called us, and we talked to him, and it's embarrassing because he did it in New Hampshire. He said, well, he'd had difficulties in his life, and he had some problems, and his wife had some problems, but that I must understand that he had worked for the president, and he worked for him. And I said, I have no objection to his working for you. If you want to take him to justice and put him on your payroll, and assume the responsibility, he said he doesn't have a record, that he could work at justice. I said, well, he said, but he the president liked the work he did. I said, I know it, Ken, but I'm, Bobby, but I am president, and I don't like what he's doing, and I don't want to be held responsible for it, and therefore I don't want him. He said, well, Ken O'Donnell doesn't like him. And I said, I haven't found anybody over there that does like him. He said, well, Chairman Bailey likes him, and Steve Smith likes him, and he hasn't been given a fair hearing, and he hasn't been given a fair deal. I said, well, we'll give him a fair hearing, and we'll give him a fair deal, but we're not going to have him going around operating independently and not a part of the team. Everybody that plays here plays on the team. A tear got in his eyes, and he said, well, he's sorry that I sent him to Indonesia only on account of I wanted to show confidence in him. I said, no, I didn't say that at all. I said that I was glad to show confidence in you by sending you there. I needed someone to go there, and I thought you were the competent person to go there, and I thought it did demonstrate my confidence, like it did on Shriver and McCarthy and Humphrey and Stevenson. So he started out of the room. He said, then will you talk to Bailey about it? Bailey's the one who has to do it. I said, yes, I will instruct Bailey to get rid of him after he hears these stories about New York and New Hampshire, because I don't want him working for the committee, and I hope we don't have any problems about it. But he went to the door, got about halfway to the door, and said, well, I don't think he's had a fair hearing. I said, well, I'll authorize Bailey to give him a fair hearing, but if this is true, that he is out operating independently without anybody's direction and urging people to enter names for president or vice president, I just don't think we can tolerate that. And I wouldn't tolerate it with Bill Moyer. I wouldn't tolerate it with Ken O'Donnell. I wouldn't tolerate it with Dick McGuire or anybody Pierre Salinger working for.
Right.
So he said, farewell. So that's it.
Well,
it's going to be a problem, and it's going to be serious, but we have to face those things, and I want your support, and I understand how both of you feel, but I think you ought to talk to Bailey.
Well, Mr. President, my two bits with this. First, this fellow is absolutely no good, and I can say the other hand, Bart's got a complete blind spot on him.
And he says another thing is that I don't realize that he's uncovered four or five contractors' corruption over there. And that's the reason that he's had him, and I don't understand.